Good evening, Remembrance Sunday today. I thought I'd read three scriptures that speak about remembering in order to speak the gospel. The first is in Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. For he is not subjected to angels, the habitable world which is to come, of which we speak. But one has testified somewhere, saying, "What is man that thou rememberest him? Or son of man, that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him some little inferior to the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honour, and hast set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast subjected all things under his feet." Then in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, reading from verse 39, "Now one of the malefactors who had been hanged spoke insultingly to him, saying, 'Art not thou the Christ? Save thyself and us.' But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, 'Dost thou too not fear God, thou that art under the same judgment, and we indeed justly? For we receive the just recompense of what we have done, but this man has done nothing amiss.' And he said to Jesus, 'Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Verily, I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.'" And then finally in Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 7. "Think of what I say, for the Lord will give thee understanding in all things. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from among the dead, of the seed of David, according to my glad tidings." As I was saying, it's Remembrance Sunday today, and quite rightly we do remember those who have given their lives, who have lost their lives, servicemen and women, over the years in various conflicts. We're thankful for the freedoms that we have, the freedoms that they have given us as a result of their sacrifice, intentional or otherwise. But, you know, the freedoms that we have are only temporary, and some of us feel they're being eroded today by legislation and things that are going on. But in the gospel, I'd like to tell you about a freedom that is permanent, a freedom from sins. And so I read in Hebrews, where I read, it's a quotation from Psalm 8, a psalm of David's. I'm sure it's familiar to you, but in it, David speaks about the wonder of the heavens. You know, he looks up and he takes account of what God has created. "When I see the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars, which thou hast established, what is man?" When we think about the creation, we realise we're very insignificant. You think how great the heavens and the earth are, the more we know about the universe, the larger and the vaster it gets. And David couldn't see as far into space as we can today with our telescopes and all the rest of the technology that we have. But, you know, David had an impression of the greatness of what God had created and the insignificance of man. And as it says here, "What is man that thou rememberest him?" And if you look at the psalm, you'll see that man is Enosh, weak mortal man, emphasizing how weak and puny we are in relation to the greatness of the world in which we live. Or son of man, Adam, mankind, that thou visitest him. We might seem insignificant, we might seem weak and puny in the world in which we live, but God remembers us. God has remembered mankind. And as this scripture here shows, God has shown it in a remarkable way, because this scripture shows us that he's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came into this world. The Lord Jesus created this world, and then, when, as the scripture says, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. Think of the Lord Jesus coming into this world. Think of God remembering us. the Lord Jesus might come to be our Saviour. Everything subjected under his feet. Things, as we look around us today, are not subject to the Lord Jesus. In fact, that's the will of man, that's my will, naturally speaking, to rebel against God, to rebel against everything that God has provided and everything that God has established for the benefit of mankind. These things are provided for our benefit, the things that God, we see set out in the scriptures, but we rebel against that. The scripture says, doesn't it, all we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way. That means that we're sinners, sinners in the sight of God. And this scripture here tells me that the Lord Jesus has come in to change things. You know, he's changing lives today. Lives are being changed by the work of the Lord Jesus. And as we see from this scripture, a time will come when everything will be put under his feet. That means everything will be subject to the Lord Jesus. But how do we come into this blessing? Which is why I read in Luke's gospel, it's a familiar scripture, the scripture of the malefactor. And there were two things that I thought about when I was looking at this scripture about the malefactor. I think there are two things for us. I mean, there's many more than two things to take away from this scripture, but the two impressions I wanted to leave with you were, firstly, the importance of repentance. If we want to come into blessing, God's blessing, the scripture says repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see here that there are two men. They started off in the same place. And in that sense, we all start off in the same place. We're all men and women. We're all sinners in the sight of God. We all start off in the same place. But there's a big difference between these two individuals by the end of this short paragraph. One of them is mocking. He speaks insultingly to the Lord Jesus, and that's quite common today, very common. We listen to politicians, we listen to others that speak publicly, and they tend to mock Christians, and they tend to mock the Lord Jesus in the things that they do, the things that they say, the things that they suggest. Maybe it's not too direct, but it's implicit. But then there was this other man. He'd been affected by the suffering of the Lord Jesus. Whether he'd seen what had happened to him when he was before Pilate and before the guards when they abused him, I don't know. But he'd seen what had gone on at the cross. He'd been nailed to a cross. His compatriot had been nailed to a cross. And then this man called Jesus had been nailed to a cross. And there he was, hanging between them. And he was clearly affected by what was going on. And he rebukes the man that had been a rioter. You know, these men were rioters. They rioted. There'd been a riot. Someone had been killed. At least one person had been killed. They were no doubt robbers as well. But a change came into this man's life. He says, "Dost thou too not fear God, thou that art under the same judgment? And we indeed justly, for we receive the just recompense of what we have done. But this man has done nothing amiss." Yes, we're all guilty in the sight of God. And God is quite justified in bringing judgment upon each one of us. But the grace of the gospel, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, is that he has come here to suffer the judgment that is due to me and to you, that you and I might go free if we come in repentance like this man did. Think of the Lord Jesus. He hasn't died here, but 3 hours later, there's been the darkness over the face of the earth. In that darkness, he suffered and he died, and he bore God's judgment upon sin. And that's why I can proclaim in the glad tidings tonight that there is forgiveness for sinners, for those that come like this man in repentance. But then the second thing that I thought about was that this man said, "Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom." And perhaps People think that Christianity is all future. It's all about the future, not about now. But no, Christianity is all about now. What does Jesus say? Jesus doesn't say to him, yes, I'll remember you when I come in my kingdom. He is quite right. Jesus was going to come in his kingdom. But Jesus says to him, I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today. You know, Christianity is for today. It's now. Scripture says, now is the well-accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. That you can be forgiven from your sins now, and you can be sure and certain about it. Because Jesus said, verily, truly, I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I'd like each one of us to be sure of it. I know we are. But to be sure to know that we can have our sins forgiven today, at this very moment, as we come in repentance. And then we know that things are settled, that a holy and righteous God can look upon me not as a sinner, but clothed in the worth and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, because he has died in the sinner's stead. Yes, Jesus was going to die because this malefactor put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. It didn't mean that he was exempt from the judgment that he was suffering. Later on that day, he would have his legs broken. Think of that, his legs smashed to pieces. And then he would have suffocated on the cross. But he died with his faith and his trust in the Lord Jesus. And as Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And so in Timothy, Paul's writing to Timothy, and he's writing about the glad tidings. He's telling Timothy about the glad tidings. According to my glad tidings. Paul was preaching the gospel. Paul was an elect vessel he was a man that suffered for the Lord Jesus. He was a man that went out with the gospel. He went out to the Jew, he went out to the Gentile. In a particular way, he was going out to the Gentiles to preach before kings. You know, Paul preached in front of all sorts of people. We know that there was a king that he preached to. We know there were senior Roman officials that he preached in front of, and I'm pretty certain there was a slave called Onesimus that he preached in front of as well. Maybe Onesimus was saved by the preaching of Paul. But anyway, Paul was a preacher of the glad tidings, and I think there were two impressions for me to take away. Paul's saying to Timothy, think of what I say. First of all, he says, remember Jesus Christ raised from among the dead. You know, that God's power in resurrection is central to the gospel. I spoke in Luke about the Lord Jesus suffering and dying on the cross, but the story didn't end there. It didn't end in the grave. We know that the body of Jesus was taken down by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, and it was laid in that tomb, and he was there until Lord's Day morning, and then he rose from among the dead. Remember Jesus Christ raised from among the dead. As Paul says elsewhere, if Christ be not raised, we are still in our sins. But Jesus has been raised from among the dead, and those that have their faith and trust, in that sense, you know, the sins are left in the grave and Jesus is raised. God has demonstrated in raising Jesus from among the dead that the work that he completed there on the cross is complete and perfect. God is satisfied. The hymn writer says, God is satisfied with Jesus. I am satisfied as well. And how true that is. God is satisfied. Jesus is raised. Jesus is exalted. Jesus is glorified. Remember Jesus Christ raised from among the dead. Paul wanted Timothy to hold on to that. Jesus Christ raised from among the dead. And then he goes on to say of the seed of David. The seed of David. Why do you think Paul brings that in there? I think he was reminding Timothy, you know, that God's promises are sure. God's promises are sure. The Bible's full of God's promises. When I got married, a brother that I was local with, one of the wedding gifts he gave was a little book written by Spurgeon. There were 366, I think, promises in there, one for every day of the year, including a leap year. And it was called the Checkbook of Faith, because the point Spurgeon was making that there can be promises in the scripture, but a bit like a check, you can have a check in your pocket, but you can't do anything with it until you take it to the bank and you pay it in and you get your cash, and then you can do something with it. And in a sense, that's true of the Bible. If I stand here and say, well, there are all these promises of God in the Bible, that's true, but have I made them my own? Have you made them your own? And we can make them our own because they're certain and they're sure. And the other thing, that even if the promise isn't for me, you know, there are promises in relation to Israel, the nation of Israel. There are prophecies. It's a shame Phil isn't here. Phil lent me a book about fulfilled prophecies of the Old Testament. And it's remarkable to look at the Old Testament, to see the purposes and plans of God, things that he's spoken of through his prophets fulfilled. And there are many things that have been spoken through the prophets that have a future fulfillment. And that gives us greater confidence. I think it's right to say that these things are certain and sure and will come to pass. So when Paul was preaching his glad tidings, he was acknowledging the power of God in resurrection, how wonderful it is to lay hold of that, but two, to remember Jesus Christ raised from among the dead of the seed of David, that there are promises in the gospel that are cast iron, they're absolutely certain. There's very little that's certain in this world. But as a Christian, we have, as Andrew will often remind us, a sure and certain salvation. A sure and certain hope, actually, Andrew. Try and get it right. A sure and certain hope. And we do. And it's sure and it's certain because it doesn't rely on me. It doesn't rely on how I feel when I get up in the morning, if I feel good or if I feel bad. It might change the way that I think about things, but what God has planned and purposed don't rely on me. They rely on the Lord Jesus and how perfect he is. What a perfect saviour he is. And the things that God has purposed, the Lord Jesus has accomplished. And as we have our faith and trust in him, we can be certain about these things. So Paul can say, remember Jesus Christ raised from among the dead of the seed of David, according to my glad tidings. Well, just a few thoughts to leave you with this evening. God has remembered man. What is man that thou rememberest him? There's an interesting note to that word rememberest. It says there in Hebrews that there's an active recollection because the object is cared for. Nice to know that you're cared for, isn't it? We're speaking this afternoon about people who are alone, widows, or strangers, or orphans. God cares for you. He's remembered us because he cares about us. It's nice to know that we're cared for, isn't it? And then we see that exemplified in Luke 23. There was that malefactor. We might have said he was a bad man. We're all bad men. He was a repentant sinner. And as a repentant sinner, we can, as it were, claim the Lord Jesus. Remember me, Lord. He wouldn't forget us. The only thing the Lord Jesus forgets, their sins and their iniquities, I will never remember anymore. That was the new covenant. And in a sense, as believers, we find it in Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10, repeated for a second time. Their sins and their iniquities, I will never remember anymore. And then we finish with Paul's reminder to Timothy of his glad tidings. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from among the dead of the seed of David. The power of resurrection, the certainty of all that God has promised. Well, may we lay hold of these things, may we be encouraged, and as we're left here, may we never forget the Saviour that's loved us and cared for us.